Blog Talk Radio.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. This is your host, John Nasheed, focusing on issues of concern. It's good to be back with us. I've been away for some time, and I'd like to give a shout out to my daughter. Her birthday was yesterday. She passed last year, and we pray that God blesses her soul. Also, I'd like to mention that I've been on this Blog Talk Radio since 2009. I have many different programs that we presented, much about Islam, the Nation of Islam, and many different personalities in the Nation of Islam, some of the life stories. I came into the Muslim community in 1966, and many stories that really need to be told. That's why I chose the topic today of the history of al-Islam in Westchester County, New York. And this is where I'm from. This is where I came into the community. And I think this needs to be documented for the sake of those who come behind us, you know. And Westchester County, actually, we started in community in Mount Vernon and also in New Rochelle in the Nation of Islam. And the Nation of Islam is a group that was established by Amr Elijah Muhammad. And it was a black conscious group, and it was designed to bring our minds out of the programming that we had underwent since slavery in America. You know, we used to go out and fish. We called it fishing. I guess it's a language from the Bible also, prophets fishing for the mentally dead in our case, and bring us back to the enlightenment of the Quran or the Word of God, and bring us back into our natural human self. And I'm taking this from my autobiography. I'm writing an autobiography, and I ran across some things in my writing, and I said to myself, well, maybe I should record some of this also, autobiography, book that I have been writing for many, many years, and now I'm coming to completion. Titled it the In Black and White Autobiography. And in black and white, what I'm describing is in my struggle from the darkness of ignorance into the light of clear understanding, coming through the Nation of Islam. First of all, coming through the ignorance of the Jim Crow period, coming into the Nation of Islam, and coming into the understanding of the religion of al-Islam in the Quran and the traditions of Prophet Muhammad. And much of this is entailed in my life story in the autobiography that I'm writing, concluding at this point, and attempting right now to share much of this information with the general public. The history of al-Islam in Westchester County and New York, and some of the developments, the early Muslims that came in the time that I came in 1966 in the city of Westchester County, also New York City, and many of these developments and different trials and tribulations that we went through. You know, this is the time 1 year after Malcolm X, the great leader. Not only Muslim leader, but leader for African Americans, giving information and understanding not only to African American community and society, but also to the world. Well traveled, well spoken, and now we see him today after his death as a national hero. Matter of fact, a universal hero, because he had broken barriers. You know, just like many of our leaders that came before. Martin Luther King and many others. So we want to give some information on the understanding of the history, al-Islam, in the establishment of Al-Islam in Westchester County. And when I first came, as I mentioned earlier, when I first came into the Nation of Islam, 1966, I believe there were only a few of us. And this is history. This is documented history. And this is in the African-American community. We're not talking about immigrants. There were very few immigrants from the Middle East or Africa or wherever in the United States of America at that time. So we were establishing ourselves in Islam, coming through the Nation of Islam. And much of the language was a language for that time, transitional language. You know, we used the language to go against the language that was given to us in the first place, where he said that the white man was God, and then we said in our language that the black man is God, the maker, the owner, supreme of the planet Earth, God of the universe. This was language. And this was language to attract people's attention and move their attention away from that indoctrination of white Christianity and the white man God that was given to us. How can a people grow, especially a slave who was brought here from Africa for free labor, how can that individual grow and develop if he's looking at himself through the eyes of a Caucasian? It's impossible. So this was a transitional Nation of Islam, transitional period. Some might say, well, Minister Farrakhan, he's still here. He still had the Nation of Islam. But that's Minister Farrakhan's Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam that we established, first of all, from the time of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and even up to our period, 1966 and beyond, it ended in 1975 when the leader, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, passed. Imam Warithi Muhammad took the leadership and introduced us to Islam proper. So that's the ending of the Nation of Islam, and that's the beginning of traditional Islam, the community of Islam all over the world. Our membership is the membership with Muslims all over the world. So we have to keep that in mind as we go through the transition of our community from my period, from 1966 to actually the period right now, what is this, 2023. When I became Muslim in the Nation of Islam, there were maybe three Muslims in New Rochelle. Three. Brother Lewis, Brother Benjamin, and a brother by the name of Brother James. I can't recall any others. There may have been, but I can't recall them. And in Mount Vernon, it was a brother by the name of Brother Andrew Sixx. He ran a stake and take. All of these, with the exception of Lewis, the other three, I believe, had passed away. And these were my mentors. They mentored me in coming into the Nation of Islam. And then when I accepted, also myself, John 90X, it was George 59X, and Yusuf. Or Joseph 60X. It was Joseph 53X, right? And those were the three Muslims that came and joined the Nation of Islam when I did. So you're talking about, what, six people? Six people in Westchester County who established the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at that period. And then, quite naturally, after that, fishing for the mentally dead attracted more attention. More brothers began to come in. Joseph 60, Brother Gary, Brother William C4, no, not C4, but William, I can't recall his X number. And then it began to build on and on. And we began to establish an identification right here in the Westchester County area. Now, when we were in the Westchester area, we had to go into New York City because we didn't have a temple, so we had to go into the Bronx and we had to participate in Bronx Temple on Prospect Avenue. And then years later, a few years later after that, maybe 1969, we began to come to Mount Vernon. some of the officials in the city, they saw that we were developing a pretty good community, so they felt that we should go up in the Westchester County area and begin to develop. And most of our communities or temples were in, we call it the Black Belt, or the African-American neighborhoods that they call the hoods now. Most of us, we attracted to people who were downtrodden, people who were on drugs, people who had lost hope, people who had gotten away from God, and we were trying to draw their attention back that we might be able to put them on the right course. You know, the religion of Christianity was a religion that had taken us off the course, and our thinking was that Islam was a religion that put us back on the natural course that God or Allah has established us on in the first place. So we came to Mount Vernon, and with the help of some of the membership of the Bronx, and we began to set up our first place in Westchester County was on 9th Avenue, in a place called the My Club. Now, the My Club was a weekend, I believe it was after hours, they sold whiskey and played cards and those kinds of things. We used it on a Sunday. There was no activities there, so we rented it, and we began to conduct our affairs. We had a minister, Minister William 50X, we called him, and he was our teacher. And we began to conduct our affairs there, and we began to go out into the community. We had many different kinds of program. We called it fishing, going out in the streets, selling the papers. We even had a program at one point where we sold fish to the community, door to door. And one of our main focuses was the projects. Many of our people lived in the projects and the surrounding areas, and I don't think there's one door or one house or one apartment in the African-American community that we didn't knock on that door and tell them about the religion of Islam, tell them about doing for self, being productive, raising our children, doing all, getting rid of drugs and all the rest of these kinds of negative things that had come upon us. And we made a very serious, serious impact in our community. And as we began to grow, then a portion of the upper Bronx areas, 200s of the upper Bronx, began to come out because they were closer to us, came out and gave us even more support. And then we got to the point where we had grown out of the My Club, and then we started to look for another location in Mount Vernon. And by the grace of God, we found a place called the Odd Fellows Club, Kind of strange name, but this is some kind of fraternity, secret order. But they did rent us the place, and we conducted our meetings there on Fridays. And we also, first of all, it was Sunday, and then we also had Fridays, and eventually we had it Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. And this Odd Fellows Hall, we were bringing in young men from the streets, and there was a big drug going on at that time. I believe it was heroin, and then in the 80s, I think it became a crack epidemic. But we were dealing with heroin, and we had very serious problems. And one of the main things to take the man, it's one thing to take a man out of the grave of ignorance. But once you take him out, how do you straighten out these problems, these social problems that he had, drug addictions, no employment, et cetera. All of these things we were building into our membership. You know, how do you stop using drugs? We didn't send them to the programs and send them away for 90 days or 6 months or whatever the case. They kicked cold turkey, most of them, kicked cold turkeys, stayed over a brother's house or in some location, and he went through his withdrawal, and when he came out of those withdrawal, in many cases, they were upright, clean, got all of the drugs out of their system, no medication, any of these things, and then they began to walk the right course, and this is what this period was all about. A lot of people say, well, Nation of Islam, that's not Islam. You know, that's just some black thing going. Well, maybe it was. I know it wasn't Islam, but it was the name used Islam was to take our attention away from the name Christianity. We weren't looking to become Christians. We were looking for something else. What was strong enough to draw us away from Christianity? It was the title or the definition of Islam. And if we study African history, we know that there were many, many Africans in Africa who were Muslim, many Africans, especially on the West Coast, in places like Ghana and Senegal and places like that on the West Coast. When they came over as slaves, they came as Muslim. Actually, the movie, if you see that movie, Kunta Kinte. He was a Muslim. He was one. He didn't, when he came to America, he wasn't a Christian. He was fighting against Christianity. He was running away. The only thing that could stop Kunta Kinte in that particular movie was they had to chop off his feet. He wanted his freedom. That's what Islam means. It means freedom. It means to be at peace, to have tranquility in your life. And this is what we were bringing. We thought we were bringing the right thing. But God only knows. God is the best knower. So Odd Fellows Hall was our place for many, many, many years. We performed a lot of functions there. We had weddings. We had social events. And Muhammad Ali even came up once, Mount Vernon, 2nd Avenue. And we made good use of what we had at that time. And then later on, as time grew on, we moved to out of that place and we found another location on 3rd Avenue, right on the corner of 3rd and 3rd. And I believe it's a senior citizen building there now, a new building. But this was the period that the Nation of Islam was coming to a close, around 1975. Abdullah Muhammad had passed away, and Imam Warithi Muhammad had taken over the leadership of the community, and he changed the Nation of Islam to the World Community of Islam in the West. Now, Imam Warithi Muhammad was always a Muslim, maybe in the earlier days when he was under his father's teachings, but his mind was always focused on who is God. He knew that the God that was presented to us, which is called Farad Muhammad, was not God. It was not his savior. Actually, his father excommunicated him on many occasions because he refused to accept Farad Muhammad as his savior. He said, Daddy, that's your savior. That's not my savior. And his father would put him out. Actually, we didn't even know him. We didn't know Imam Warithi Muhammad. I didn't. I never saw him before until one day at 116th Street in Harlem, the mosque that Malcolm established called Masjid Yusuf Shah now, but it was Temple No. 7, Imam Warithi Muhammad came. And actually, when he came to take over the leadership of his father. And his whole purpose was to bring us to Islam proper. Actually, when he was speaking in the temple there at that particular time, he was speaking a language that most of us or none of us really understood. He introduced us to Allah. He told us about the Prophet Muhammad. He told us about prayers and all of these things that we understand now, but we didn't understand at that particular time. And he told us that the community was a community in progression. You know, it's progressing over a period of time. Many things that I learned under the teachings of Imam Warithi Muhammad at that time, I'm studying them now, bigger understanding. I never thought in my mind that in maybe, 50 years or 50-some-odd years, that I would come to a higher understanding of what the Quran and the tradition of Prophet Muhammad really means. You know, most of us are ritualized Muslims. We practice the rituals and say that we are practicing Islam, but it's the meaning of the ritual is really the khutbah or the lecture. Once we understand the ritual, then we have a bigger and better understanding of the religion of Al-Islam. Our prayer the ritual. Prophet Muhammad practiced it over 5 times a day, over and over and over. The rising of the sun, the rising, the reaching the zenith, its conclusion, its darkness, coming into darkness, and performing that function over and over and over every day is a message for those of us who reflect. And this is what Imam Wahdi Muhammad was teaching us, the universality of Islam, how we study the universe for knowledge and information that we can use for the betterment of our life and also for the betterment of human life in general. The black man is not better than a white man, nor is a white man better than a black man, nor is a black man better than a white man. God or Allah created all human beings, and he created them in the best mold. And he said, I created you different in color or culture or whatever the case, that you may know one another. So this is where we started. We started in New Rochelle, and I was blessed to be there to start the operation of calling people to the way in the Nation of Islam, waking people up, resurrecting African-American, and growing them up to accept the true religion of Islam in time. That's God's plan. We don't have a plan. And if God allowed Prophet Muhammad, Farad Muhammad, and all of those who came before to establish this, it served its purpose. Was it right? Of course not. It wasn't right, but God permitted it. Let's put it that way. And now we are studying the religion of the Quran and the Sunnah of our dear Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are successful. You know, the religion, as we mentioned, in Westchester County, Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, and then eventually Yonkers, very few Muslims at that time. And now if you go around to a Jummah, which is prayer on Fridays, it's just people all coming out the doors, all different colors, all different nationalities, some wearing their traditional garb or whatever. And we see that Islam is gradually making a big appearance in the United States of America. The problem we had in the beginning was America. They knew, they understood what was taking place. That's why Malcolm, you know, we see that Malcolm was assassinated. That's why we had so many problems in the Nation of Islam, is because they labeled us as terrorists and people who had motives that was not in line with the American way of life, right? But we see that God blessed us in time to come to where the people could see us for who we truly are. The religion of Islam is a religion of peace. And if we practice peace, then quite naturally, people are going to gravitate to it because everybody is looking for peace. So those hard days in the Nation of Islam, 1966 for me, and it even goes back further for others, very difficult, trying times. You know, we always questioned. We always had a problem. The police always had a situation. We had to go through many trials and tribulations to establish ourselves, you know, to set up our schools, weekend schools, to set up our primary schools and early learning, not only in the religion of Islam, but English, social studies, and all the rest of math and all the rest of those kinds of things. Teach your own children. Formulate your own businesses. This was the program. You know, Abu Elijah Muhammad, and when he established his community, he established the community for us to be an independent people. I think many of us went back to the point where we became dependents, but nonetheless, he established it for us to be an independent people. And everything that Abu Elijah Muhammad developed, as far as farmland, stores, businesses, schools, education, and all of those things, we tried to emulate exactly what he did in these United States of America. What's wrong with that? Other people come here, the Arabs come here, they're independent, they set up their institutions, the Americans, they pay their taxes, right? The Chinese, the Irish, the Italians, all people that come to these United States of America, they come as independent. They call themselves Arab Americans. We call ourselves African Americans. We pay our taxes. We set up businesses. And one of the big problems that we have in these United States of America as African American former slaves, we are too dependent on government, right? And if we begin to pool our resources and begin to put our resources into business institutions for the betterment of our children, open up schools and send our children off to college with an African-American mind seeking the benefits for African-Americans, then we're going to make big progress right here in America. I wouldn't call myself a patriotic American, but I'm a law-abiding American. I pay my taxes, right? I love my neighbors, right? I live between two people, families. The other side of the street is a Hispanic family. Down the street, African-American. On the other side, African, right? A very mixed community. We all get along well. We look out for each other, right? And God, quite nasty, is the best knower. So we who came early to establish this religion of Islam, or who was called early, in my case, 1966. I found Brother Lewis, I found Brother Benjamin, I found Brother James, I found Brother Andrew, and those are the ones that I can remember now. It's probably some others, few others, but it wasn't many. Westchester County we're talking about, New Rochelle, Mount Vernon, Yonkers, White Plains began to develop. These are the bigger African-American communities in Westchester County. We know that Westchester County is a very affluent county, big people, people who work in the city, who manage big governments and politicians, et cetera, live here. But still yet we had the opportunity to establish the religion of Al-Islam through the Nation of Islam, first of all, to get rid of all the kinks and all of the programming and all of the racism and whatnot. Once we got rid of that, now we're striving to establish the religion of Al-Islam on a higher level, to invite all to the way of Allah with wisdom and beautiful preaching. Prophet Muhammad is not the prophet for Muslims or African Americans or Arabs. Prophet Muhammad is a prophet for the whole of mankind. The message of Prophet Muhammad, his life, his example, the Holy Quran, is a message for the whole of mankind. And that's our mission. We're not ashamed of it. We're not frightened by authorities, etc. We represent what is right, and we strive for excellence. So we're going to do a part two next week, and we're going to talk about the establishment of religion proper. Maybe we'll talk on a few other things. And then I think in the third week, we'll talk about the introduction to Al-Islam in the county, Westchester County Jail, of which I was a chaplain for a number of years, maybe 30 some odd years. So we'll speak on that also. I just wanted to make certain that we at least started this to document this information. And as I mentioned, it's in my book. It's not a book that I have going to copyright for sale on the market. It's really for the family. But I want to put all of this vital information that we had in the past, bring it to for the benefit of those who come behind us. So I thank you for your patience. And inshallah, I'll share this online. And we'll see you next week, God willing. And we'll talk about Al-Islam established by in Westchester County under the leadership of Imam Waruddin Muhammad. Thank you. May God bless you all.